Walling, Addie. Walling, May. Tacoma Park, Maryland, July 11, 1904. Dear children, Addie and May, I have desired to keep up a correspondence with you, and this is why I write. I have a deep interest in you both. I pray that in your life work, you may glorify the Lord. I wish that Addie could be connected with some one of our schools as a teacher of Spanish, and I wish that May could work in some one of our sanitariums, not to give heavy treatment, but as a teacher or a head nurse. I believe that she would be a blessing in the San Diego Sanitarium, which, we hope, will soon be ready to open. I ask you to tell me frankly whether you would be willing to connect with the work in the way I have mentioned. I am sure that there are openings you could fill without finding the labor wearisome. Please think of this. I feel unwilling that either of you should remain in New York through another winter. We shall soon have a sanitarium in Los Angeles and one in Washington. Nurses of experience and capability will be needed in both of these institutions. Please tell me, May, how you are health-wise. I do not want you to overwork. I want you to be agreeably situated, where you can be cheered by the thought that you are looking unto Jesus, the great physician, making him your friend. The Lord has blessed me in a marvelous manner since I left California. I never realized his power more decidedly than I did at the Berrien Springs meeting. But the Lord cannot work through Dr. Kellogg unless there is a thorough breaking up of the fallow ground of his heart. Oh, that we could see in his soul the dawning of spiritual light. He is lost in the fog of sophistry. He has talked out his damaging theories until he has done harm to many souls. Since the Berrien Springs meetings, I have had less hope than ever before of his making straight paths for his feet. He is in the condition outlined by the message to the Laodicean church. After the Berrien Springs meeting, I accompanied Edson to his home in Nashville. We stayed with him and Emma for 5 weeks. While there, I spoke 3 times in the white church and once in the colored church. We went to Graysville and spent 2 days there very pleasantly. Graysville is mostly made up of the homes of Seventh-day Adventists. On Sabbath, I spoke in our church there. In my weakness, I had much strength, for God was with me. The next day, we were taken over the village to the different places of interest. I was most interested in the sanitarium that has recently been built on the mountainside. The location is a most beautiful one, and the building is neat and well planned. I am more than pleased with the earnestness and zeal that the brethren have shown in the erection of this memorial. Success has attended their unselfish efforts. Each worker has taken hold to help the other, and all have drawn in even cords. This is just as it should be. When workers labor thus, their efforts reveal the sweet fragrance of godliness. Behind the sanitarium, a little farther up the mountainside, there is a living spring of clear, cold water. This is a treasure of more value than gold or silver. Trained nurses are needed at the sanitarium, and an experienced, motherly woman is needed to take charge. But I would not have you go there, May. It is a beautiful place, but I would not have you bear the burdens that I fear you would be obliged to bear should you go. On Monday morning, we went to Huntsville. We found the school situated in a beautiful country place. There are over 300 acres in the school farm, most of which is under cultivation. But for several years, the land has not received the attention that it should have had, and the present showing is not the most favorable. Not long ago, the suggestion was made to me, would it not be well to sell the school land at Huntsville and buy a smaller place? Instruction was given me that the land should not be sold, that the situation possessed many advantages for the carrying forward of a colored school. I was shown what the school could become and what those could become who go there for an education if the will of God is carried out. But in order for this to be, a man of managing ability must be placed in charge, a man who can give the students an example of how things are to be done
and make the school farm blossom as a rose. We stayed at Huntsville till Wednesday. I spoke several times. We saw but few of the students, as school had closed, and most of the students had gone their different ways. After we returned to Nashville, I had much writing to do. The Sabbath before we left, I spoke to the church. It was the day for communion service, and I had freedom in speaking words appropriate for the occasion.
I was not at all well for the last few days that I was in Nashville. I had no appetite, and I felt sick all the time. We thought that perhaps we could leave for Washington Monday afternoon, but we learned that a meeting of the Southern Union Conference was to be held in Nashville on Tuesday, and we decided to stay for that. I met the committee in a room on the fourth floor of the publishing house and spoke to them for over an hour. On Wednesday morning, we got ready to leave, having decided to go on the evening train. All Wednesday, I wrote letters that must be sent to different ones, and when the time came for us to go to the train, I was very weary. I felt as if I could not go another inch. We reached Washington at 10 o'clock Friday morning, and I am now once more in my nice room. I have not been at all well for the past 2 or 3 days, but have suffered a great deal from nausea. I am quite weak, and have not yet felt strong enough to talk with any of the brethren here. I have received the wristers that you sent me. Thank you very much. If I am careful of them, they may last me as long as I live. In closing, I would advise you once more to get out of New York into the country if you can. Tell me what your plans for the future are. I will write again as soon as I know more in regard to our movements.